There's a lot for us to think about these days, what's going on. Updates are fuller than ever. So lots of things on people's minds, especially I'm sure we'll hear about the elections coming around and propositions and everything. But now, more than any other time in history, we live in a time of uncertain riches. That's the title of my message today, Uncertain Riches. The economy, the bailout, the stock market. First recession, then depression, and then you fill in the blank. Perhaps I am the only one who's noticed that despite all these things, the people at large haven't even flinched. They continue on as if it's just all very interesting, but won't have any impact on their life. Sure, a lot of people are really feeling the effects, those who have already lost home or employment, or those who will soon. I'm primarily talking about my generation, those who are looking forward to a plentiful future in America, which has been made available for so many generations. They haven't foreclosed or lost their investments, but they are in the process of investing in this world, in their education and their future and their hope to someday ride out the abundance. Of course, we have to go on with life, but it may come as a surprise to some when they find out that the treasure that they have laid up for themselves will not see them through what's to come. Will it catch us by surprise? How shocked would you be if our entire system came to a crashing halt and our money wasn't worth anything? In Revelation 18, verse 14, speaking of end time destruction, you may turn there to Revelation 18, verse 14. We read, "The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all." And down in verse 17, "For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing." This is a prophecy for us and the world and every world that followed after the way of the Great Babylon, which we're living in. So yes, many are longing for a full and abundant future in this land of opportunity, which we call it. But as we scurry about to make it happen, do we then get distracted and miss out on the only thing of substance, a treasure in God's kingdom? If you'll turn to James chapter 5, we'll read in verse 1 through 3. James chapter 5, and starting in verse 1. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days." We're coming upon a time when not just some will lose everything, but a time in the near future when the devastation will be unparalleled to anything that has ever been seen in the history of mankind. And we are very unfortunate to live the American dream. Unfortunate not because of its eventual demise, but because there are still ways to go. And those of us who live here are still very rich. That is, physically abundant. I've heard it said many times that most Americans today, even those that live in the lower class, live better than the select few kings, queens, and princes of millennia gone by. That doesn't make it very easy for us, that is, to be in God's kingdom, at least based on what the Bible says. Jesus warned us it is very hard for those with earthly riches to enter into God's kingdom. Now, I'm not saying we're all among the richest of the rich, but I mean, compared to the rest of the world, we live very, very well. And I'll get to why that will definitely become a stumbling block for some of us, including myself. And Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 25, you can just jot it down, it's easier to thread a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into God's kingdom. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 through 19, we do read God's admonition to those who have physical abundance, those who are rich in the physical sense. 1 Timothy 6, and starting in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. So we see another kind of richness mentioned here in verse 18 and in verse 19. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So we see our first mention of another type of richness, which is something that we should lay up for ourselves, and not the kind of riches that the world would have us lay up for ourselves, which are passing away. We need things to get by, to live, but it should not be our everything. It's a deception. It's a true deception to think that we can really own something. After all, it all belongs to God, and we can't take anything with us. If we cling to the idea of owning, accumulating, and maintaining our physical things, they will inevitably own us, and we'll spend our lives living for these possessions. And we're nothing more than a slave to them. And that's what most of the world lives by, teaches, and spends most of their time doing. We read in Luke 12, verse 15, if you'll turn there. We'll spend a little time in Luke 12, verse 15, reading and hearing the sermon that Jesus Christ gave, his teaching that he gave. In Luke 12, verse 15, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Usually if someone says beware, or if a sign says beware, it's because there's an unforeseen danger, a danger that might catch you off guard. Continuing in verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. There is a treasure that we should work towards, which we should save up for. We should be rich toward God and his kingdom. We should be willing to die today and feel no great loss. Would we feel a great loss if we died today? Or are we rich now? Continuing in verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? As I alluded to earlier, God's people are certainly not among the most rich by any means. But he has provided well for all of us, just as he has promised. It is a great blessing for which we are all surely grateful. But it can be easy to forget where we draw our blessings from. And we could become deceived in our own ability, perhaps, to provide for ourselves. Soon many of these things may be taken away, and we simply may not have the ability to provide for ourselves. In verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then God so clothed the grass. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. How many times have we heard that? But do we really accept and believe it? I know that from a carnal human standpoint, I have a hard time. If I just let go of everything, God will take care of me. It just doesn't add up from a human perspective. But hasn't he provided for us up until now? Or do we believe that we have provided for ourselves? It is ever important in these times, which are coming quickly upon us, that we continue to put our trust in God and to save up for, so to speak, for God's kingdom. And continuing in verse 32 through 34, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. More now than ever, we live in a time of uncertain riches. Now is the time to invest in true, eternal riches.